Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has voice that made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel Him made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like you go. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Welcome to Macedonia Call Around the Globe. This is Sister Joanna Green. My husband here is Brother Clint Green. And here also is Evangelist Sister Phyllis Sinners and her husband, Brother Bobby Sinners. Just feel free to call in tonight if you have anything on your heart. Feel free to call at 347-989-8862. I'll give that number again, 347-989-8862. We enjoy other callers and hearing their testimony. And just call in and tell us what God has done for you, if He's saved you, if He healed you, or anything on your heart, just go ahead and call. If you want to email us, you can email us at heisrisen38@aol.com. heisrisen38@aol.com. And we want you to remember the Proctor family tonight as we go in prayer. Carol Proctor, for the last couple of weeks, we've been turning in prayer requests for her. She has battled cancer for couple years now, and she has went home to be with the Lord, and she's going to be greatly missed. And just pray for us, pray for the family. She is my husband's sister, and that's going to take place on Monday. A very sad time. We're going to miss her here, but one day we're going to meet her again over yonder. And I'm sure right now she's walking the streets of gold and meeting face-to-face with Jesus and meeting with her mommy and her daddy and other loved ones that's went on. And we're going to miss her, like we said. And, you know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastics. There's a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to laugh. And, you know, I may not be saying it just right, but you can look that up in Ecclesiastics chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and just read that. If you've lost a loved one lately, that really helped us in this sad time. And right now, I want to go in prayer. Remember Keith Green. He's also battling cancer. Sandra Combs, she had a massive stroke. Remember her. And let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to share Your word, dear God. And Lord God, You said anybody would call upon Your name, Lord, and believe in You and repent of their sins, that they shall be saved. And God, we're asking that You reach out, Lord, across this world. And Lord Jesus, just deal and open up their hearts. That You said if we sup with you, you'll sup with us, dear God. And you said in Revelations, open before us as an open door, Lord. And God, we feel that opportunity, that door open, and we just want to walk through it, Lord. And help us to do your will, God. And Lord, touch spoken requests and an unspoken request, Lord. You see the needs, the people that's in the houses that are shut in and can't get out. Maybe they can't go to church, and this is the only way, the only service that they may have, Lord. We ask, dear God, that you encourage them, lift them up, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, I'd like to turn this over to my husband, Evangelist Clint Green.
Okay, it's good to be with you tonight, and it's just good to be saved and on the Lord's side, and it's just good to be a Christian tonight. And like she prayed earlier, if you're not a Christian, well, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and it also says that now is the accepted time. So, see, Christ died for our sins on the cross, and since that time, whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely, and they can have eternal life. We want to get back into the program today. We've been preaching on teaching and preaching on the Apostle Paul and his call to the ministry, the foreign mission ministry, and we're right now in the second missionary journey. We talked about the first missionary journey. We talked about Paul and Barnabas, and that was found in Acts 13, 14, and 15. And there at the end of chapter 15, verses 36 through 41, it tells about Paul and Barnabas having a disagreement, and they had a parting of the ways with one another. And I believe I'll read a little bit of that, but I think I covered that once before. It says, in some days, this is a 36th verse. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John Mark, whose surname, John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him. So this is where they had a falling out. Disagreement, they parted, and then we go on down into the 16th chapter, and we find here that Paul gets connected up with Silas, and so Paul and Silas begins the second missionary journey, and also we also find that Timothy is here connected up with Paul. So we have these three mentioned here in chapter 16. So we find out here later that they're preaching in the city of Philippi, the chief city of that part of the country, and that's in Macedonia. And we find out that Lydia gets saved there by the riverside, and she's the first convert in that part of the country. And she and her whole household are baptized, and the Lord opened her heart, and she got saved. So then they begin to preach on there in chapter 16, and they come to a place there where a young damsel was following after them. In verse 16, it said, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain to soothsaying. And we find out a little bit later here that in the 18th verse, it says she did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And then we find on down here that Paul and Silas take the beating. Well, they were actually caught and beaten because the men that owned this slave girl could no longer make money. They couldn't make any money out of her. So the hope of their gains was lost. So here they are. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And so we find here that they were beaten. It said, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," in verse 23, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now, I think this is important right here about how that they sang and they prayed at the midnight hour, the Bible says. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." And they weren't just singing to be heard. They were singing unto God. And the Bible says here that the prisoners heard them. You know, a lot of times we want to put our light under a bushel, and we don't want to say anything in public or whatever, and we just want to be quiet about what we believe. But, you know, Paul and Silas were not that way. They went out in the street. They preached the gospel. They went down the streets preaching the gospel. They went by the riverside preaching the gospel. And also the Bible says they went into the synagogues. And it was their custom, Paul's custom, to go into the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And he would, if they would ask him if he had anything to say, he would begin to preach. Out of the scriptures, he would begin to preach Christ. And he would take the scripture, the Old Testament scriptures that he had, and which the Jewish people had, he could take those Old Testament scriptures and he could prove that this was the very Christ, that this man that had died on the cross, this same man that he had met on the road to Damascus, this was the Christ, and he was the Messiah. He was the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3. He was the seed of Abraham. He was the son of Abraham, and he was the one and only Savior. Praise God. And it didn't take very long to stir the Jews up, because the Bible tells us here that from city to city, the Jews would follow him, and they would stir up people, and they would come against him. And here, he had cast his spirit out of this young damsel, the Bible said, and it had caused problems. I would imagine you would think that these men would have been glad to get the devil out of this girl, but they weren't. See, they were just using her to make money. And they didn't care if she had the devil in her or not, you know. They were just in things, in this for the money. And many times people are in things for the money, and they're not in it for the right reason. Praise God. But they had laid many stripes, they beat them, laid many stripes upon them. In verse 19, the Bible says they caught Paul and Silas, and they laid many stripes upon them. They thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And the 25th verse says, "At midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." I was wondering about that. I thought, well, they put them into the inner prison. And we don't know what this prison might have looked like, but, you know, they were right in the center of this prison. We don't know how many prisoners were there, but we know there were some there, because we find out later that the jailer, being wakened out of his sleep, he was going to kill himself, because he figured, well, the doors being opened, and, you know, there was a great earthquake. The Bible said there that suddenly that there was a great earthquake. So, see here, 26th verse, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So we know here that there were other prisoners in this prison. And I wonder what these other prisoners thought when they heard Paul and Silas praying at the midnight hour and singing praises unto God. You know, I think there was more than just the jailer saved that night in the prison. You know, it's a bad thing to go to prison, but you know, it might have been the best thing ever happened to some of them people there that was in that prison house that night, because they saw what God could do. They saw that these two men were serving the true and the living God. They saw that they could pray and God would move. That they couldn't put them in a good enough prison to ever hold them if God wanted them to come out. And that's exactly what he wanted. He wanted them out of that prison house. Not only did he want them out on the field of evangelism, but he wanted them out there praying for people that was demon-possessed and sick and afflicted. And everywhere they went, they had results. You know, I was reading there over in the 16th chapter of Mark, and the Bible said they went everywhere preaching the word of God. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that's the last chapter of the book of Mark. And a lot of people would like to take that out. And, you know, we got all kind of different Bibles in the land today. And I tell you what, a lot of them don't agree. One don't agree with the other one. And, you know, and I'm sticking to my King James Version Bible. I'm going to hold on to the Word of God just as long as I possibly can, because there's going to come a day when they're probably going to come and they're probably going to try to take your Bible and they're probably going to try to burn it or lock it up somewhere and do away with it, because they're changing these new versions that they're coming out with, and they're calling them Bibles, but they're really not Bibles, because if you add to or take away, you don't have the Bible anymore. You just got part of it. And they take verses out and add verses in. But, you know, Paul had the true word of God. And he went forth, the Bible said there, from Antioch in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And he got that call to the mission field. And he went forth preaching the word. I know he preached the word. I know he had the word to preach, because the Bible says in the 16th chapter that they added Paul and Silas had also Timothy to their ministry. That's about the first verse of the 16th chapter. It said, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, as far as I can tell, this is the same Timothy that is spoken of in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that Paul wrote to Timothy. And in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he's talking to Timothy as though he is his own son. Although we know he could have possibly been saved under Paul, but he was probably there in Lystra, when Paul was stoned and left for dead. He probably saw him stoning him. And he probably saw Paul getting up, you know, and going on and preaching again, going back into the same cities that had caused him trouble before. And he went right back into those cities and preached. And he's saying, Timothy, he's saying, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in verse 3 there, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he knew that Timothy knew something about striving for the Lord and being a good soldier. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, see, he was a soldier for the Lord. And no matter if he faced hardship, he wasn't going to give it up. He was going to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. He was going to keep on running the race until he finished his course. And he told Timothy, he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. And he goes on and tells some more stuff, how they were heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So we see that he's telling Timothy, it ain't going to be no bed of roses, but you see how I lived, you see what I endured, you see the things that I went through. And for you to be a good soldier, you're going to have to go through some things yourself. And I want you to know over here in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, he says in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. See, it was at Lystra where they stoned him and left him for dead. And he says here, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Paul was warning Timothy that after his departure, it would even get worse, and that Timothy would have to be a strong believer, and he would have to hold up under persecution. You know, the early church was a persecuted church, and they killed many of them. They burned them at the stake, they threw them to the lions, and many things they did to them because they believed in Christ. If we live in some nations of the world today, we're persecuted for Christ. If we send missionaries in some parts of the country today, they're persecuted, and they're in peril of their lives many times. It's because the world does not know that Jesus is the way, that he is the true Messiah, that he is the only way. And so they run into problems when they go to preaching Christ and him crucified and how that he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, and people have been taught other ways. I think we have someone that's called in. I don't know if they want to get on here or not, but here you go, Joanne. See who that is.
Praise God. Clint, you know, I was thinking here. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Friend, that today I want to tell you, if there's a question, if you don't know if you're saved or not, then you're most likely you're not saved. If you want to make your assurance that you want to know Jesus, all you have to do is repent And then he said to do the first works, which is to be baptized in water. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I want to give 937-5399 a chance to say something. Go ahead, tell us who you are.
Peyton Weil. I'd like to say that here in Acts 16, verse 30 and 31, the jailer that saw the miracle of the earthquake and Paul and Silas being delivered of the chains and being set free, he asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and confess that he is the Lord and Savior and the only way to heaven, then you will be saved. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Midge. That's right. All we got to do is ask him. If the Lord's dealing with you and you've never accepted him, you may be a good person out there. You may be good to your neighbors. You may be good to your children and your family, your husband, your wife. You may be good to all them that are around you. And you may have never done anything bad in your life that you know of. But if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and just to repent, we were born to this. We were born into the curse of Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. And you know, God, Jesus Christ himself came, that he was crucified to recompense the people back to God. And then if we just take him on as our Savior and believe in him, and after you've repented of your sins, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that completes your salvation. I had a girl tell me on Wednesday. I asked her if her daddy was saved. She was telling me some things that was going on. And she said that her dad gets upset with her when she asks him if he is saved. Said that's between him and the Lord, and that's nobody else's business. But you know, that's really a cop-out. That's a perfect chance. If you're a Christian and someone asks you if you're saved, that's a perfect opportunity to witness to other people. And you know, we're not to keep our light under a bushel, like Brother Green was saying. We are to tell the whole world that, yes, Jesus Christ is my God. He is my Savior. And you know, I praise the Lord that my salvation is complete. And you could go on even further than that to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, to be, praise God, to have power, to be a witness. He'll make you bold. And you know, if you don't know anything about this, you just read Acts chapter 2, and it'll tell you all about the baptism and how it gives you power, and that this is that the prophet Joel spoke about in the Old Testament, and how it's for us today. He said it's for your children, your children's children, and as many as are far off. That means us. Praise God. We only have about a minute and maybe 38 seconds left. Mom, do you want to go ahead and you want to pray over the people?
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, that you'll send people in to be saved. I pray, O God, that that people will recognize that they need a Savior, that they can call upon you and repent of their sins and ask Jesus into their hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus these things. Amen and amen.
Praise God. Again, if you want to reach us by email, you can email us at heisrisen38@aol.com. heisrisen38@aol.com. If you want to call in, you sure can at 347-989-8862. And we'll be on again next Friday. Just listen in at 11 p.m. and Eastern time. And till next time, we'll see you then. God bless.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has voice that made me whole. His love for me. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.